Well, 29 came and went, and with it the hopes and dreams of seven Super League clubs. But we're not done yet. Oh no, and to guide you through the playoffs this week, we're joined by Mr. Alex Davis. Matthew Shaw is here.
Hello.
And it's a big welcome back to Martin Sadler.
Hello.
So, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's show, as well as a little preview for this weekend's matches in the playoffs. We're also going to be joined later by Phil Hodgson, Community Game Oracle from League Express. He'll be guiding you through the NCL. And we've got Lorraine Marsden coming on as well later to talk about the Women's Super League. I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, we're not going to manage, I don't think, to fill an hour. But then I started writing down everything we need to talk about, and now I'm worried we're not going to have enough time. So let's go through the results from last weekend before we start talking about the playoffs, as well as some political issues and that kind of thing with the game more generally. Obviously, it was a bridge too far for the London Broncos, but to go down by points difference alone isn't bad at all, really,
to say. No, it's not. It's not. There is a tinge of disappointment, isn't there? You don't want to be biased, but there is that as a reporter, you want the best story, and the best story would have been London staying
up. But that tinge of disappointment doesn't extend to supporters of Wakefield, Hawkinson Rovers, and Huddersfield.
You know what? Well, you know what? I think if you asked them all separately, if you could have guaranteed that their team would have stayed up and London would have stayed up, they would have snapped your hand off.
While the achievement of just slipping away for London is a good one, I think generally the relegation fight on the final day did not live up to expectations.
No, it didn't.
Because it never looked like London were going to win the game, and because London never were going to win the game,
it was only 8-0.
No, but they were never going to win it, and they never showed they were going to win it. So
I don't know if they came out of the blocks in the second half.
They had a disallowed try for a forward pass, and it was
a very non-event.
Kieran Dixon.
It wasn't exciting because London didn't look like.
Shall we ask for our money back?
If London were winning, that would have been incredibly exciting.
I think it was extremely exciting for Wakefield fans.
I take the point. It didn't.
It would have been better if it had been level going into the last 5 minutes, wouldn't it? Let's face it. Because the other two games. Actually, were quite incredible. You know, Huddersfield just won it at the death.
Catalans turned up.
And Salford beat Hull KR at the death.
Well, I mean, what's incredible is if London had won, and obviously it's an if and is it relevant now, if they had have won, Hull KR would have been relegated, having lost in Golden Point to Salford again.
Exactly. That was the story waiting to be written.
Thank goodness
for Hull KR fans, that wasn't the case.
And just to reaffirm, that's what you're all in it for, the story. So we're not being biased against Hull KR.
No, absolutely not. Look, to move it on to Hull KR, there has to be concern there about how their season has gone. You know, the reality is they invested heavily in the off-season. They were tipped to do all right because they recruited well, yet they didn't manage to get the job done on their own accord.
Well, they had the former coach of Australia as their coach for half the season, didn't they? And eventually parted company with Tim Sheens. And, I mean, Tim was a disappointment, really, if we're really honest about it.
I'm not convinced by that.
Tony Smith is a very smart guy, I think. Very, very shrewd operator.
Did they improve under him?
Hard to say, but they did enough to avoid relegation, didn't they? That's what he was there for. That's what he was brought in for, so that he achieved his objective. And it all now depends, you know, it's a close season, you know, pre-season with Tony Smith in charge. The question is, how are they going to do next year?
You could potentially compare it to Richard Agar's achievements. I'd possibly say that Leeds' squad is certainly they brought in better players throughout the season, but Agar was able to move Leeds comfortably away from the relegation zone, whereas Tony Smith was a little bit.
And why is Matthew? Why is Tony Smith still going on about the system of relegation?
Silly. It just comes across as
when it suits.
When it suits, yeah. And he has always moaned about Leeds structures, but he's moaned about Leeds structures all the time. He wants licensing. That's what Tony Smith wants. He wants and I'm not saying he's wrong. Well, I am. I agree with him. I hated licensing. I think it was the worst thing that ever happened to rugby league.
Well, in the format in which it existed, it certainly was. It could have been applied a lot more intelligently, in my opinion. But sadly, the RFL doesn't always do things intelligently.
What I will agree with him on in what he said, Tony Smith, the only reason it didn't work was because the rules were bent, and they were. Castleford and Wakefield are still in the grounds that were deemed not acceptable when licensing first came around. That was 10 years ago now. are still in them. So it really, maybe it was done with the right intentions, but it didn't have the desired effect, and ultimately it was a catastrophic failure, in my opinion.
You can have the best system in the world, but if you apply it wrongly, it will fall apart, and that's the problem. But promotion relegation is a problem, and always has been for rugby league, and there are lots of former rugby league grounds in the north of England that are now housing and industrial estates that would still have been rugby league grounds if it hadn't been for promotion and relegation. So let's get that absolutely clear. It can be devastating financially for clubs, and it can really damage them.
And I think
you've got to be very, very careful in the way that you handle promotion and relegation in rugby league.
But I think that the thing is that promotion and relegation is so ingrained into our culture.
It's ingrained into football culture.
Well, but that's our culture. That's our sport.
Not my culture, I've got to say.
We could argue this all day, but the thing that I always come back to on this argument is anyone who wants licensing, you go to, at the minute, Lee, Featherstone, Halifax, Toulouse, and explain to them what they are striving to be if they can't get it.
And that's why that's the whole point. That's coming back to the point that licensing was incredibly badly organised and implemented, and you've got to take it. What you've just said is very true, and you've got to have a system that takes account of those feelings and that gives them aspirations. The prime objective is not the league structure. The prime objective is protecting clubs' futures and protecting them financially and protecting them from systems that are ruinous. You know, that's a problem.
I think generally there are too many clubs outside Super League that have aspirations of being in Super League for licensing to work.
We've had the best and worst, haven't we, of what can happen with promotion relegation, because Hull KR proved you can go down and come back stronger for it. But then you also
did
had...
they come back stronger? I'm not sure that. I mean, they came back. The good thing about Hull Kingston Rovers is that they've always had strong support. The last home game, there were 8,000 people there, which is a great crowd for a side that's struggling. So, you know, that's quite important.
Well, all we can say is a big congratulations to Wakefield, Huddersfield, and Hull KR for staying up, and commiserations to London Broncos. We're going to be discussing Swinton later, so gives us even more an opportunity to talk about strategic thinking and all that palaver.
Sure.
Towards the top end, congratulations to Salford.
Absolutely.
My goodness, everybody.
This is the most excited I've been for a game all season.
Yeah. Well, I hope it... I just hope it's a really tight... I mean, I really hope it's a tight game.
I just think it's going to be a tremendous game. A clash of styles. But I think one thing that has been criminally underrated about Salford this year has been the pack. Lee Mossop has been...
Well, it's going to be really tested this Friday.
Yeah, of course. You know, well, it's the acid test.
Against all these young Wigan forwards.
It is the test.
What happens if Salford win this? And don't say they play St Helens next week.
They do.
Well...
Because they're two games away then from winning the thing.
They go to Saints, having beaten Wigan away.
Well, the reality
that'll be a huge
and almost
thing.
Being Saints early.
They'll go to St Helens wanting to win and thinking they can win.
If Salford win, I don't think they win, don't they?
I would love to see Salford at Old Trafford. I would. We really need Salford to be a strong club. They're in the heart of Greater Manchester. It's really important, as far as I'm concerned, that Salford, you know, can become a strong club, because that will benefit rugby league as a whole. If they could, you know, get crowds of 10,000 or thereabouts in the AJ Bell Stadium, that would be great for the game. And obviously, if they could get to Old Trafford, you know, because I mean, I love Wigan, I love St Helens, they're both great clubs, but another Wigan St Helens grand final is probably not what the game really needs if it's going to look as though it's, you know, growing.
We need a new winner.
Yeah, we do. We do need a new... Funnily enough, I was sat with Steve Price, the Warrington coach, last night at a dinner in Warrington, and that's what he said. He said...
I mean, he would.
He said Super League needs a new winner, and he's absolutely right.
But it is
this the best... I mean, we'll come to Warrington and Castleford in a second, but is this the best opportunity, Alex, to get a new winner?
No, 2017.
Oh, that's a shame.
2017 was the best, because the best team was
there.
A new winner.
Yeah.
Cass bottled it. They bottled it.
Yeah, and, it's not the best opportunity, because Saints are that good as well. And Wigan,
you can't say that it's the best opportunity, because Saints have finished, 12 points in front of everybody else.
Well, of the five teams in the playoffs, three of them have not won it before. So, you know,
in that sense,
but the trouble is there is a chance.
In that sense, I mean, I don't give Castle. But
the problem is that the two teams that everyone thinks are probably going to get there are the two teams that have already won it.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about Warrington v Castleford then? I mean, this is both teams desperate for a win, and the good news is one of them's going to get it.
Absolutely.
For me,
it's a knockout game, isn't it?
For me, it's. I don't think Cass can win the grand final. I don't think Cass can make the grand final. I think they can knock Warrington out of the playoffs.
I don't think they will do, though.
I think they've got a chance.
They've got a chance, obviously. But I don't think they'll... I think Warrington... I just get the feeling, having been at Warrington last night, I just get the feeling that they are revving up for this playoff. And I think they'll be very serious contenders, to be honest.
I just think... I look at Castleford's recent form and the teams that they've struggled against have been the good defensive teams. Look on the league ladder as well. It's a team with solid defense.
Yeah, they struggle to score.
Warrington aren't one of them at the minute. Mm. Warrington are leaking points all over, and I think Cass will be able to exploit them.
Mm. Well, you could be right, but as I say, I think Warrington will be highly motivated on
I'm pretty sure that Castleford will also have that motivation.
It goes back to what we were saying about St Helens a while ago about how, you know, they're in the playoffs. Warrington, barring a bit of a scare, have always been in the playoffs. Castleford, it was a lot more touch and go, and therefore, you know, they're on a hide into nothing, really.
Well, in the first week of the playoffs in the Championship of League One, didn't both last teams, the lowest teams, win?
Yes.
There you go.
I think there's one important factor, though, that we've got to bear in mind with Warrington, and that is that they've won the Cup already, but they did it without Blake Austin. Blake Austin is now back in the side, and I think he will obviously have been very disappointed to have missed out on that success, and I think he will be incredibly highly motivated. I'm talking about motivation again, but I think he'll be incredibly highly motivated to get to Old Trafford, because
he has to prove he's the man, doesn't he?
He's got to prove he's the guy, and you know, I think his performance on Thursday is going to be particularly interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does. And, you know, I suspect he'll have a real big game, but you never know.
The key, I think, in the game is the pack. Because if you win the pack battle, you stop A, Daryl Clark, and B, Blake Austin. Because Blake Austin doesn't have the time, Daryl Clark doesn't have the quick play of the ball.
I mean, Those are the two big players. And let's be honest, Castleford are without Nathan Massey and Jesse Senlafayette.
That's huge. They're going to be heavily reliant on Liam Watts, as they have been all season.
And the pack didn't cover themselves in glory last Thursday against Wigan. In fact, they got bullied by, admittedly, so, very, very good, but kids.
Young, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Kids.
Well, they are, aren't they? They are, the teenagers.
Well, they might be, but I wouldn't fancy standing up to them myself.
No, but in the world of rugby league, they are.
Yeah,
kids,
they are young. Yeah, they're certainly young.
So next week, we're going to be sat around this table and we'll know who's in the semi-finals. Who's going to be in the semi-finals?
I can guarantee you that...
Both next week.
Well,
so
I can guarantee you that St Helens, Wigan and Salford will all be in.
Good, I like that.
I'll guarantee you that.
Well, I think that...
You don't get predictions like that on any other podcast.
No, I think we'll have two home wins this week, so I think next week we'll be looking forward to Saints v Wigan and Salford v Warrington.
I have to say, I agree.
And I think, not so much Jesse Senlafayette, I think missing Massey, who is one of the most underrated players
in
the competition,
underrated,
for me,
I think so. Yeah.
Means that Warrington will get on top of Castleford enough for Austin and Carlton.
You're right, Massey is without doubt one of the most underrated players in the competition. He does everything right.
And if it is those four teams, who eventually is going to make it into the final? Are we saying St Helens? Are we saying St Helens will get their first try?
It depends who they play, I think, to be honest. I think if Salford go to Saints, I think they'll win. But if Wigan go there, then I think Wigan will win.
It will be two of Wigan, Saints and Salford.
I thought you were going to say two of Wigan and Saints. Then.
I think Wigan and Salford will end up playing each other again in the final eliminator to play St Helens in the grand final, which will be at Wigan again, won't it? So
they might do. It's quite interesting that under this system, this sort of playoff system, there's often, in the second week of the playoffs, there's often a game that is then repeated in the grand final. And I think it'd be interesting to look at the history of that, because I think there's quite a lot of examples of where the result of the first game was then reversed in the grand final. Yeah. So I think we ought to, you know, check on that, because it'd be really interesting.
The more I think about it, the more I think it'll be Saints-Wigan, because I think Salford could go to Wigan and win once. I don't think they could go there and win twice.
It's a little bit strange.
I'm convinced being a bit biased, that if Salford play St Helens next week, that Salford will win that game. Last time they played each other in the league.
We'll see.
Well, there's so much that's possible, and there are so many interesting permutations out there. I love this playoff system because we talk in this way. You know, there are so many exciting possibilities.
And it's not just the playoffs, obviously, in Super League. Championship has already started with their playoffs, and it was a great performance from Toulouse. I mean, what do we make of that game against York?
Well, Mark Carella, I was watching the highlights, and Mark Carella just looks in great form, doesn't he? And the team as a whole looks really strong.
It's funny, because he's been a little bit quiet by his own standards this year, Carella, and then... He made up for that on Saturday. He was, I think on Backchat, I described him as mesmeric. He was just
I think
phenomenal.
They've got a chance of beating Toronto, but, you know, you never know. Well,
Concern for Toronto... Well, they hammered him earlier in the year, admittedly, My concern for Toronto is the fact that the other teams have been scrapping and fighting to get in the top five and have been playing other teams that have been scrapping to finish wherever in the league. Toronto, I've been in Toronto for a while, and they've been playing half teams, weakened teams, because a lot of teams have said, we'll give this one up. I don't think they're going to be as battle-hardened as the other teams in the playoffs, and I think that is a danger. I don't think it guarantees that they won't make it, but I think it's something that they have to fight against.
I think they've got a coach, though, who's probably aware of all that, haven't they? Brian McDermott's a seasoned coach who's very used to taking teams to victory in playoff systems. So I think he's going to be well aware of all those possibilities. But I think their most dangerous game is the first one, you know, they're against Toulouse. The thing that annoys me, though, is that if Toulouse win in Toronto this weekend, they'll then have a week off. Yeah. But if they get to the final, they'll have to go back to Toronto. I mean, the whole idea of the top five system is that when you beat a team above you, you step into its shoes.
Yeah, I agree.
So Toulouse actually should stage the final if they win.
And for what it's worth, it's the same in every league, and it should. It's like that in Super League.
No, it's not, because the final is on a neutral ground.
No, but if Salford beat Wigan, then lose to Saints, and Wigan beat Warrington or Castleford, that final game will be at Wigan.
Yeah,
against Salford, which is wrong. It should be at Salford then.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
It's a case of the RFL and Super League misunderstanding the nature of this playoff system. You know, as I say, it's a great system, but it's always based on the idea that you beat the team above you and step into their shoes with all the privileges that position brings.
Could not agree more. Especially, as Martin says, in the Championship where... It's the geography, the geography is a challenge. It's not like you're having to go from Featherstone to York. You might be having to go instead of going to York or having him at home, you're going to...
What we're saying...
Look at this from Toulouse's point of view. What's the incentive for Toulouse to win? I mean...
Hold on a second.
If they were... Let's imagine Toulouse go to Toronto and don't win. It's an advantage for them because they'll then have another game at home against... somebody, you know, one of Featherstone perhaps or York. Toronto will have another week off, so another week of not being battle hardened, and Toulouse would then, if they won at home against York or Featherstone, they'd go to Toronto again, and this time, you know, they'd be with a better chance of winning, in my view. Whereas if they win in Toronto, then they'll have the week off, and Toronto will have another game at home, and then be battle hardened, and then we'll then play the final.
If you can guarantee to lose a place in the grand final, and they have to beat Toronto this week to do it, they'd snap your hand off.
I mean, I'm sure they probably would.
There's a chance they might be playing York or Featherstone in the final, so you can't really.
Oh gosh, absolutely.
Anyway. So that's Toulouse. They're taking on Toronto this week. That's going to be live on telly on Sunday night. And speaking of Sunday night, what a treat that was, Liam Featherstone on Sunday on Sky. That was superb, wasn't it?
Featherstone were excellent. Really good team performance and probably their best of the year.
Yeah, don't underestimate them.
They were outstanding.
I think they'll be too strong for York this weekend.
I won't name names, but I spoke to a league player this morning and he said, you know what? Said we weren't even that bad. They were just absolutely fantastic. He said we all said the same. He said no complaints. They were just very, very good. And fair play.
And obviously, everyone, I'm guilty of this, will go on about Dane Chisholm, but that was a proper team performance, that. There were so many outstanding performances.
I didn't even think Chisholm were the best player on the pitch.
He got out of the match, but I thought
McClelland was unbelievable.
By far the best game I've ever seen him play. Yeah.
Josh Walters, I think, was the best player on the pitch.
But they've got a lot of players.
He's got a good try.
I tell you who I like at Fev, and I really rate him, and no one else gives him a word. He's Brad Day. Mm. I think Brad Day is fantastic. Mm. He's been one of the signings of the season from Batley.
Now, obviously, Featherstone aren't going to be at home at all throughout this playoff system. We have been kind of hinting at the fact that they are the dark horses in this. They've got nothing to lose, really. Could they be the joke in the pack here, the ones that really, really upset the apple cart for...
Hugely.
I think they really could. If Toronto lost to Toulouse this weekend, they'd then be playing York or Featherstone at home. Now, I think that would be Featherstone, because I think York are a great side, but they've achieved their peak, I think, of York, and I can't see them going much further. Because, they've done wonders, I think, but I think this might be a bridge too far. But if Toronto were then to play Featherstone, Featherstone have won in Toronto already this year, haven't they, I think?
Was it last year they won?
Yeah. But they've always played very well in Toronto.
They nearly beat them in Toronto earlier this year without King or Chisholm.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Featherstone are not overawed by a trip to Toronto. And would be potentially.
And they've got to be ready for that trip, confident. Really, haven't they?
Absolutely.
I know the head coaches will be going, we won't take each game as it comes and all that, but.
Yeah.
When all's said and done, I'm with you, Martin. I love that we can speak like this and ifs, buts, and maybes. I still can't see Toronto not winning it.
No, I can't, but, you know, the possibility's there.
The fact there's a possibility is...
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's predictions. What's happening next week?
Toronto and Featherstone for me.
Same for me.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll find out over the weekend, obviously. League One as well has been into the playoffs, and we should start, really, I think.
Two away wins.
Yeah, let's talk about Doncaster firstly.
They were tremendous as well. Yeah. Watched that game. Very, very good. They defended superbly and they were just ruthless when they got the chances.
Yes, a bit disappointing for Newcastle, that, isn't it? You know, because they've been very, very focused on getting promotion this year, and obviously it's a lot harder for them now. Not necessarily impossible, of course.
Would you rule out Workington Town beating Newcastle?
No, they've had some really close games this year. I think they've had 2 1-point games, haven't they?
Hmm. I wouldn't rule it out. Mm. And from what Newcastle weren't great. But I did think they came up against a very good team.
So. Obviously, Workington Town have had some good news. A new 3-year deal for Chris Foreman, who's staying as head coach. Hunslet have been not the best at home all the way through this season, really. So I don't think it's any surprise they've been beaten for the last time this season.
They came back from 24-18 down at half time, didn't they?
They started the season well and just faded, didn't they?
It's a home form.
They've been a little bit like Warrington. Mm. They were good they were up there at first, and it's just fizzled out.
Oldham are taking on Doncaster on Sunday. That's going to be live on the Our League app. Newcastle hosting Workington Town. Where's that one going, do you think?
Oldham look like they're just on a crusade to me, away the end of the season.
You wouldn't put it past them, really, would you, to be in Championship next year?
No.
There's something about them at the moment.
Again, it comes back. Doncaster going with a big win under the belts, full of confidence. I do think that at this stage of the year, 1 week off isn't a bad thing.
Mm.
Just to recharge the batteries and so on. So I don't think Oldham will mind.
No. I'd be surprised if Oldham didn't win.
Yeah,
but,
I think it'll be
Oldham. You know, it'll be a good battle. It'll be a game worth seeing.
The interesting thing about Workington is that they, from now on, will play everybody that's lost a game before to come down to them. It's an interesting thing, that. It's worth pointing out.
Workington.
They've been funny all year, haven't they?
Yeah. And I just think because of that reason, they've been hot and cold. Yeah, they've picked up a good win and they could maybe put it together. I don't see them going the whole way.
No, neither do I. But I tell you what, there's a good motivation for them, though, going back to this word. I mean, Whitehaven already promoted.
Yeah.
So, you know, a West Cumbrian double.
But that's the playoffs in the top three divisions. What about the MCL? Well, on Tuesday, I caught up with League Express's very own community game oracle, Phil Hodgson, for his take on the MCL playoffs.
Yeah, it's been a very exciting season. One of the things, I mean, talking about the preview, hopefully nobody's recorded it because I may have been way off in what I predicted. But the very first game, Hunslet Club Parkside, the reigning champions who were unbeaten the previous year, travelled to Kells and lost 6-0. And how the season duly progressed, Kells, I think, only had two more wins after that and were relegated, which perhaps tells you exactly how competitive the Premier Division is. Hunslet Club Parkside had a good season again, but not quite to the level that they had the previous year. And we're now in the playoff stage. How it works in the Premier Division is the team that comes top are recognised and hailed as the minor premiers, and that was West Ham Hornets. And then the top six playoff and feature in the grand final, and the grand final is taking place on Saturday the 5th of October at the LD New Christian Stadium, Addison Rovers, as part of a double header with the Division 1 promotion playoff final, which we'll talk about later. So the winner of Wasp Brow and second place West Hull on Saturday will go straight through to that final. The loser will then entertain, and this is where it gets a bit complicated on the radio show, will then play the survivor of the semi-finals involving the next four. Now, those started last Saturday. Hunslet Club Parkside, who finished third, were home to Siddle, who finished sixth. And Siddle won the game 11-10 in Golden Point. Siddle snatched a draw with a entry from halfway by Gareth Blackburn in the final minute, and then went on to win that game by a single point. And they now travel on Saturday to the Saturday Crusaders, who beat Underbank in their semi-final fairly comfortably, 20-8, I think it was, having lost by a similar margin at Underbank 7 days earlier in the final league match, and having also lost at home to Underbank in the league earlier in the season, which again tells you how competitive this is. What I find intriguing about the playoffs is that all four teams who are left have been champions in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we should say some of these names as well. You might have seen in Challenge Cup runs, not just this season, but in previous years as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Fatawi Crusaders have had a great year, haven't they, in all fairness? But we should mention Wathbrow Hornets, and been a great year for Cumbrian Rugby League, in all fairness. But if you ignore Barrow, obviously, but you alluded to the fact that it's difficult to explain the playoffs in verbal audio form. It's not difficult to read. So buy the newspaper on a Monday, and all the results are there, and all the previews and that kind of thing as well for the National Conference of the playoff games that are coming up, not just in the Premier Division, but in the other three divisions as well. When it comes to those divisions, starting off with Division 1, it's been a great season for Pilkington Rex, but York Acorn and Featherstone Lions as well have also had good years.
Yeah, they have. Pilkington's top of the table, so they're going to be in the Premier Division next year. Now, the top two in the bottom three divisions are automatically promoted. And then the identity of the third side to be promoted is, again, resolved by playoffs. Featherstone Lions and York Acorn went into the last game of the regular season level in second spot, with Featherstone Lions having a superior points difference of, I think, something like 30-odd points over York Acorn. Featherstone Lions then went and won at Myton Warriors, has scored 50-odd points at Myton, which you'd think would have really cemented automatic promotion. But not so, because York Acorn beat Dewsbury Moor 88-0 and therefore took that second spot on the points difference. So you wouldn't make that up, would you?
No, you wouldn't. What an ending.
Yeah, so Featherstone Lions are now having to go through the playoffs. They're at home to Wigan St Pat's on Saturday, and the other semi-final is a Leeds derby between Milford and Stanningley. So the winners of both those games will meet at Featherstone as part of the double header with the grand final on the Saturday 5th of October, and people should put that in the diaries. And that again should be a good game. Last year's promotion playoff, first division promotion playoff, was a real home dinger. This is also at Featherstone, and Ilford featured in that. They played Lee Miners. They were winning. And then Lee Miners came back, levelled with a few minutes left, and then won the game in Golden Point. So Milford, I know, were very hurt by missing out last year, and they'll be eager to make up for that. But again, you know, who will prevail for that third spot?
And it's all finished in Division 2. West Bowling, yep, and Inchrose Bridge automatically promoted. And a big congratulations to Hull Dockers, who won the promotion, yep, playoff against Crossfields,
yeah,
on,
yeah,
the weekend. And we're not quite there yet with Division 3. I'm still seeing league fixtures. So obviously it's a much bigger division than the other divisions. So what we're looking at there, it looks like Woolston and Hunslet are there already, it looks like. And it's going to be...
They're already promoted, but there's still plenty of interest there. Woolston are top, as it stands. Hunslet Warriors are second. They've both got one game left on Saturday. If Woolston were to lose their final game against Batley Boys, and Hunslet Warriors beat Millham, and they're both at home, then Hunslet Warriors would snatch the championship from Woolston. So there's all to play for there. And then again, the next four playoff for the third promotion spot, those teams will be Batley Boys, Uwerth, and Dewsbury Celtic, plus one other. And the other is either Driglington or Waterhead. And you know what? Those two go head-to-head in the final league game on Saturday.
It's a fix. That's amazing.
Yeah, won't make it up, you know what I mean? Trevor Hunt and Peter Moran and the other people who run the National Conference League, they need degrees for marketing here, because they've worked wonders. You know, you wouldn't make this up at all. Driglington are a point ahead of Waterhead. Obviously, if Waterhead win, and they are the form side of the section, at the moment, they had a good win over Woolston, I think, on Saturday, which ended their winning run. And it'll be Waterhead who'll feature in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's a fantastic end to the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we were saying, Phil, it's all covered in League Express on Monday, all the results there. It's those big games in Division 3, as well as the various playoff semi-finals that are taking place. Just before you go, Phil, just a mention for the game below the conference, because obviously that's covered as well in League Express by your good self. And there's lots of finals taking place. Hammersmith Hills Hoist has won the Southern Conference, and the Yorkshire League's in action, and the North West League.
Yeah.
All happening in League Express on Monday.
Yeah, well, Hammersmith Hill Horse won the Southern Conference League Grand Final last Saturday, actually. They had a good win over London Chargers down at Aldershot in a double-headed affair. The Eastern Division Plate Final involved Hemel Stags and Eastern Rhinos, and Hemel won that one in a little bit of a rollercoaster game, 16-10. So, you know, there's plenty of action beyond the north of England, actually. You know, the notion that it's purely a northern game, as London Broncos and London Scholars, for that matter, have proved beyond doubt, and the Welsh outfits we've got, is wrong. You know, it is a national game. It's obviously the heartland's been the north, without question, but there's plenty of compelling action elsewhere, and that's more or less come to a head now, you know. But, we've got some action still taking place in the Cumberland League for the next two or three weeks, and then we've got the county championships coming up shortly in the autumn, when Cumberland and Lancashire and Yorkshire go head to head at Open Edge, under 19s and under 16s. So plenty to look forward to for quite some time, but the action so far has been fantastic.
Phil Hodgson there, speaking to me on Tuesday about the NCL, and we'll keep abreast of that. And as we said, Monday's League Express for all the results there from those playoff games in the NCL. Just before we move on to the women's game and the women's Super League, there are some matters arising with regards to other issues in the sport. And we should start with Swinton. Sorry to bring this up now. I'm a bit split on this, really, because you understand the fans and their concerns, and you understand where Andy Mays is coming from. So
the thing that's disappointing about this is that Andy Mays and his board have done a great job. They've, you know, Swinton was struggling, and in many people's eyes were the favourites for relegation this year. They've done a tremendous job. They've made great progress as the season's gone on, rising up the table. They've got some pretty reasonable crowds in at Haywood Road in Sale. They've been drawing a few fans from the local community there as well. And they've got this problem that they probably they realise they're probably never going to go back to Swinton. You know, I mean, it'd be great if they could, but but Swinton, you know, the promise of a new stadium at Agecroft seems to go farther and farther into the distance. So they need to do something about it. And I think it's a logical thing to do to rename the club and bring in the word Manchester. But I can't see why they've not wanted to retain the Swinton name and call it Manchester Swinton Lions.
The reason being, and because I asked that question, is the marketing side of it. They've got marketing expertise on, well, they had marketing expertise on the board, and they said it's got to be one or the other because you need to sell it to
the marketing expertise,
other people outside Swinton.
The marketing expertise that they've supposedly got has now led to the directors resigning and the fans being alienated. What sort of expertise is that? It's ridiculous. Now, the fact is, if they were called Manchester Swinton Lions, they could shorten that most of the time to Manchester SL. No, Manchester SL, which actually implies Super League, doesn't it? So I think it'd be a great abbreviation, actually. And I can't see why they couldn't have agreed that. I get sick to death of so-called marketing experts who, you know, actually don't understand rugby league at all and don't understand the connection between fans and the clubs, and that's really important. We saw that back in 1995-96 when there were all those proposals to merge clubs, and the fans rebelled, and quite rightly. And this has happened again now, and it's such a great shame.
A few things. I agree with Martin. Andy Maisie and the board have done a good job. I understand the fact from the fans' point of view, as a Halifax lad, if I was told that they were going to be called Calderdale and Kirklees, I'd kick off. The reality is, though, that they haven't played in Swinton for 27 years.
Absolutely.
So they're not Swinton, are they?
No.
It's a name. Since the announcement's been made, now I haven't looked over the last 24 hours, but no, the Swinton Lions supporters just haven't made a comment. Well, you didn't want this, so you've now got what you want, so why are you saying anything?
I mean, we should say most supporters trusts are operated by volunteers and stuff like that.
I think
so,
they
themselves are probably getting their head around.
You would think within 5 days there would be. This is the future of the club.
I mean, there's a bridge here, isn't there, that needs bridging. You know, the supporters have every right to try and protect what they've grown up with.
100%.
The supporters are very important. I mean, I think it's appalling when you see supporters roundly abusing people, I think, and that's really disappointing.
It feels like the board were trying to protect the club that they've grown up with. Mm. Not necessarily the name, but the club. If the club's able to survive,
the simple procedure now is for the supporters trust, who very strongly were against this, to come out and outline what they think should happen to the club now and where they see it going in the future.
The fact is that Swinton are a club that survives because the directors put money into it. Mm. And if the directors are all going to go, which I really deeply regret, then somebody else has got to take on that role.
I understand, by the way, and Andy Maisie admitted this, and I think it is a fault, the consultancy wasn't right.
Oh, yes. Well, that's the point. I still would like to see them come back together. You know, the last thing I want is actually to see Andy Maisie go.
Yeah, I agree.
It's disappointing.
But I do also agree with what he says, that it would have made no difference whatsoever because they're still being opposed to it.
Well, we were part of that consultancy in a way because he came on the show, didn't he, explain what the thinking was and all that. And it's been no surprise that this was the direction the club was going. And maybe it was the timing more than anything that was the problem. But Swinton, whatever the future is of Swinton, it's looking less likely it's going to be a Manchester brand. And that then takes us back to that big giant hole in the M62 corridor where Manchester Rangers were not back.
I think they were not back because the RFL knew this was likely to happen.
If you go back to back chat, you had Maurice Lindsay on and Robert Elston, and they were hinting heavily that what the Manchester club that they want to see is a combination of greater Manchester clubs that already exist. That's not going to happen.
Ridiculous. So, ridiculous idea.
So what's the strategic thinking?
I can't see what the strategic thinking is. I mean, you know, as so often, we've messed up, haven't we, as a sport?
You can't... And
Manchester is a very important city. And it's in, you know, the RFL HQ is going to be in Manchester very soon. It's moving from Leeds. I'm not sure why it's moving to Manchester, but it is, so we've got to accept that.
It's a capital of the North, Martin. Come on.
Well,
and I will throw this...
It probably is, actually, but, you know, it's a great city, Manchester, but the whole point is it's a great city and it needs a rugby league club named after it.
I will throw this back on the board as well, and I said this when it was first tossed up on the show. How did they plan on resourcing it enough to make a real impact in the city of Manchester?
Mm.
Because a couple of grand ain't going to
do it.
The board.
The board of who?
Well, the former board of Swinton Lions. The
former board, right.
Because
Swinton.
I don't think, with the best will in the world, they would have had the fund, the resources and the time to really become the face of rugby league in Manchester.
It sounded like that the idea was going to be that they were going to take root in South Manchester and make that the area of where they were going to be the strongest.
Which is a very logical strategy.
I just look at it and go, the latest place that we've set up in a city and tried to build it is Toronto. How much money has been spent in doing that?
There's a lot of jet fuel in there, though, isn't there?
How much money has been spent? Take the jet fuel out. How much money has been spent to get it where it is and to build it to where it is now? Millions and millions and millions of pounds. Would Swinton have had the resource to do that in Manchester? I don't think they would have.
Does it need to be £1 million if it's not for championship presence?
Yeah, there's not.
Well, the reality. Well, no, because the reality is you're always going to lose some fans who would be disillusioned.
Yes,
and they don't have a lot of fans to play with, so they had. You got to put enough in to make sure you get more in return. It doesn't happen by a click of the finger. It includes money. And I wasn't convinced that they would have had that resource to do it justice. I'm not saying it wasn't a good idea. I think it was a good idea. Mm. But it needs a lot of investment. And I don't know. Maybe they did have the money, but...
You mentioned Toronto there. That takes me on to my next point. Robert Elston's media briefing. Firstly, how are the sandwiches?
No, there wasn't any. There was no food.
Unbelievable, right? So all the media there will have been annoyed to begin with.
I had no lunch.
And hangry. The Toronto thing and what Robert Elston said. I mean, have we got any clearer to?
It's bizarre.
Because it is bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre. Because no one will outline what the issues are.
No, what are the
and Toronto are the same?
What are the minimum standards?
Toronto
are
the same.
With?
Toronto won't outline what the problems are either. So what's the problem? What is the problem? Elston won't say, Toronto won't say, so what's the issue? I can't imagine clubs are bothered one bit because they ain't going to take any pot of money, which means that they're all richer. We know how clubs work in Super League. Money, money, money.
That's another thing, isn't it? If Toronto get promoted and don't take their share of the sponsorship income, what will happen to that share? Around about 2 million, isn't it? Will the other clubs just share it out between them? I suppose they probably
Robert
will.
Elston has confirmed that.
Well, that's crazy because what should happen is that the Super League should spend that money in a creative way to promote the competition.
Or the club should be made to spend it on things to build their infrastructures in terms of development officers.
Put it into the community game in their area. You know, to bring in new players. It's just for that money to be divided up between the other 11 clubs, so they can all just go and sign another Australian player, seems to me to be ridiculous.
Wasn't this always going to be the problem in the fact that you've got a Super League there, and their interests are to protect the Super League clubs rather than the game more generally? If it could be that simple.
Absolutely. Well, as Matt said, it's all money, money, money in Super League. Super League is an entity on its own, really, isn't it? It's they sort of see it as above the RFL, above everything else, as something that they can protect, and that's what they're going to protect.
Is that a danger?
Yes. Well, absolutely.
Well, it's proven to be a danger, isn't it?
And as far as the individual clubs are concerned, their concern is their individual clubs, not Super
enough.
League as a whole.
But that's what you've got a governing body for, isn't
it? But, I just don't think the governing body, you know, whether you see Super League or the RFL as a governing body, I mean, the RFL is the governing body. The Super League Europe is just an organisation designed to administer that competition. But I'm just not quite sure what they're doing.
Is it still going to be called Super League Europe?
Well, it's hinted
at a re...
I mean, to me, Yorkshire is abroad. That's just my own personal
opinion.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
You know. Well, you're all right. You get holiday every week.
Yeah,
that's Toronto. Before we move on to talk about some other areas as well, just some matters arising. Union clubs targeting Super League players. I believe Ryan Shaw's on his way.
Ryan Shaw's gone. Yes. They've announced that Callum Buston's gone, and Ross Whitmore, who's a Huddersfield Academy player, he's going two, and could be followed by Dick Patton. I'm told now it is more likely to be Patton than Myler. The story I was told is that, so it's, I don't pay any attention to rugby union. It was a Wales fly half. He signed for Ospreys. He's got an ACL injury, playing for Wales, out for the season. They're finding a replacement. They've looked all over the world. They identified Patton and Myler as two potential players going for the year and do it. They've now decided Myler will be the preferable one, but they have an Aussie lined up. If the Aussie doesn't take it, Dick Patton will be offered.
And obviously at this point, a load of people head to the emergency exit, start panicking. This is the death of rugby league. It's rugby union coming to raid.
Nonsense.
This happens
nonsense.
Every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, people,
and it works the other way as well.
Which is you know, Luther Burrell came to rugby league.
Guy Armitage.
Yeah. You know, and whether Burrell will make the grade or not, that's going to be really interesting to see next season. I mean, he's not been getting in their side recently. And, you know, I really hope he makes it. I'd really like to see him do well. But the other thing we probably could perhaps give a passing mention to, and Alex might be interested in this, is the NRL, because it looks as though England might win the NRL trophy this year, doesn't it, with all those English guys at Canberra Raiders.
I thought the final had already taken place. Is it not done?
John Bateman scoring the winning try. Absolutely fantastic, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, but... Canberra are a long way off from winning it just yet. Melbourne will be. Melbourne, they're another chance.
They're guaranteed to be in the last four.
No, absolutely.
You know,
one win away, are they?
Yeah.
But Melbourne will be back stronger. The Roosters were excellent in the first week.
The Roosters look absolutely unbeatable.
Yeah,
to
they
me.
Do. They do. They're the favourites for me. They're the favourites.
What about Parramatta? 58-0 against Brisbane. Just quite incredible. Right. And Brisbane players in a bit of trouble.
Well, that's NRL. Tick. Mm. Done. Just some other matters as well. A big happy retirement to Greg Bird, who's retiring.
And many others.
Walker is leaving as well, and he's been sensational this year in the championship for Sheffield Eagles.
Jamie Jones-Buchanan, my goodness.
And, of course, and Mickey Higham as well. And my wife, who was watching the game on Sunday night, was like, oh... Poor guy, because it was just not the way it should have ended, really. But I mean, it's quite.
He's been an absolutely fantastic player, as Mickey Higham. I really admire him, and you know, it's just incredible career, really. But all careers, you know, there's always a good chance your career is going to end with disappointment. Let's face it, not every career ends with a grand final win.
Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? Right. Okay. Thanks for that, Martin. And Craig Lingard is back, everybody. Where's Aaron when you need him, really?
That's a
hand in glove moment, isn't it?
The most obvious coaching appointment in a long time, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Hope it goes well. From the talk is that there's going to be a lot of change, going down a more youthful route than they have done. So, fair play.
Mm. Just before we go, we do need to mention the Women's Super League. There's been a big announcement that the grand final is going to be on Sky.
Yes.
Castleford have won the League Leaders Shield. So for more on the women's game, let's hear now from the assistant editor of League Express. Here's Lorraine Marsden. So, Lorraine, a big thank you for joining us. And big breaking news on Tuesday night, Castleford Tigers winning the League Leaders Shield. Very much deserved.
Very much deserved, yeah. They've been consistent throughout the entire season, only slipping up in the Challenge Cup final against Leeds. So certainly no less than they deserve.
And we have to say as well, 1,300 spectators there, which, I was talking to you off air earlier, that's 300 more than the combined for the League One playoffs last weekend, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, they certainly, the Casper Tigers women's supporters certainly get behind the team. They definitely roared them to success last night.
One more round of league fixtures to go, then we're into the playoffs. How's it looking? Obviously, Castleford are going to be there. St Helens are probably going to be there. Leeds are going to be there.
Yeah, the top four are decided now. It's Castleford will play Wigan in fourth place and St Helens will play Leeds.
And the big news about that final is it is going to be on telly, which is, I think, the first league game that's going to be on telly. It's going to be on Sky.
Yep.
This is huge, isn't it?
It's absolutely massive for the game. Every player involved in those four teams is going to want to get to the final even more now to play on that platform and have that many people potentially watching them.
I mean, we've been talking throughout this season about the growth of the women's game. The Challenge Cup final at I was going to say the Reebok, I keep doing that, don't I? At the University of Bolton Stadium was brilliant, and that was on the red button. This just takes it to another level, really.
It does, and standalone game as well, the night before the men's grand final. I really just hope it lives up to expectations and puts on a good advert for the game.
And before, obviously, you know, the playoff places are all confirmed, but there's one big game that's coming up on the horizon. If not by magic, the final round of fixtures, it will be Castleford against St Helens.
It will, first v second. I mean, if anything, that's going to make them both feel like they're starting the playoffs a week early, because it's going to give them a real idea of where they are, what they need to do to really push ahead for these big knockout games. And I was speaking to Lindsay Anfield at Castleford yesterday, and she said they've been consistent all season, but they maybe just lack the big game experience. So I think they are going to take that game as a playoff game and use it as a way to sort of really prepare and know how to handle the bigger games.
And if it is, I mean, it's a long way to go yet, but I mean, Castleford and Saints have been pretty formidable, but you know, you can't rule out Leeds and Wigan, that's for sure.
You can't. Leeds certainly have shown in knockout games, one-off games like that they are the team to beat. Only team getting won over on Castleford, as we mentioned earlier, in that Challenge Cup final. So it is anybody's game, and it should be a very exciting playoff series.
A big thank you to Lorraine for joining us on this week's show. Other Super League announcements as well, and to prove that my haircut is still trendy, Shed 7 will be the band of choice. They were banned in the 90s, Matthew. Lots of maracas and flares.
I'm not gonna listen, I'm not the sort of bloke who, like, Blossoms played last year and everyone like, who's that, oh, the rubbish, rather. And I was like, well, I actually like Blossoms. I have never heard of this band before. I'm not going to say the rubbish. They might be.
You've
very
never
good.
Heard of Shed 7?
No.
Well, I'm afraid neither have I.
Never heard of Disco Down?
No. Cool.
You're showing your age.
I'm sorry if you're from York and listen to the show.
I'm sure they're great. Offended. I'm sure they're great.
Happy 100th birthday as well to Stanley Rangers, we should say. And I think I'm pretty much done. That's all my notes. Yes. Right, so just before we go, housekeeping, back chat on Thursday.
Martin Sadler, Simon Grix and Willie Porchin on the show.
Two coaches. It's a good show.
Alex?
Well, there's two huge games in the NRL. Melbourne Parramatta will be explosive after Parramatta's ridiculous performance at the weekend. And South's Manly. I didn't think Manly would win the first game without Tom Trbojevic, but they proved me wrong. Brendan Elliott was playing fullback and he did brilliantly. But
what's
Daly...
Sam Burgess been getting up to?
The problem with Sam Burgess is a penalty machine.
Yeah, but he's now been done for...
Hair pulling.
No, well, hasn't he now been, like, told off for having a go at the disciplinary or something? I'm sure I saw that this morning.
He's got his own parking space outside there for us.
All right, Alex.
He pulled this guy's hair on the floor for no reason. For no reason. It's not even that long. He just grabbed it and...
Might have wanted to know what sort of shampoo he's using.
That's the problem with Sam. He's a brilliant, brilliant player, but doesn't spend enough time on the field, does he?
Well, no, he's in that car park spot, isn't he?
Manly will do well, I think. Daly Cherry Evans is the key, and he was the key when they beat Cronulla.
And those reviews will be freely available on the Express on Monday.
They will.
Walking you through exactly what happened over the weekend in the NRL. TotalRL.com, the place to go for other breaking news. But Martin... League Express on Monday.
Everything in League Express. We're giving extended coverage to the Super League playoffs and to the playoffs in every other competition, as well as, obviously, the Academy Grand Final is being played on Friday as well. We'll have full coverage of that. And the women's game too. And, of course, all the developing stories in the National Conference League. So, you know, everything is... covered in League Express, and we carry on right through week after week, month after month.
And a big good luck to Wigan and St Helens in that Academy final. And that's it for this week's Total Rugby League show. A big thank you to Phil Hodgson and Lorraine Marsden for joining us, but also a big thank you to Matthew Shaw,
my pleasure,
Alex Davis. Thanks, and Martin Sadler.
Great to be back.
And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye bye.